You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Raining Jay. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and man, we are diving into a wild trade deadline. Who knows by the time you listen to this what's going to happen, but we're going to talk about as much as we can leading up to it. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jay!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
And we're talking about the latest right now in the Anthony Davis rumors. We're going to talk about how the Tobias Harris trade affects things in the East. And then later on, just kind of running down the crazy stuff that's been happening. But I want to start with something that was tweeted at us from... The original tweet comes from Rachel Nichols. And the Carbonite Kid, at Carbonite Kid, tweeted this out saying Lakers Reddit is going to go fucking bananas with this take. Let's just hear. Rachel Nichols sets us up by asking if the Pelicans basically set up the Lakers. And she's got Windhorse by her side. And let's just play the clip.
Do you think that the Pelicans set the Lakers up? Do you think that they were upset enough? I have no knowledge. I am just throwing out a question. That they were upset enough with what they had made clear they felt like was tampering, and they felt like that they were going in to reach in after their player and cause all this disruption in the middle of the season when they thought they had at least to this summertime. Do you think that they never intended to really engage with the Lakers that much?
Good point.
But kept putting out publicly all these trade offers so that we saw last night it would ruin their team chemistry, at least temporarily, disrupt all their young guys, make things miserable for this team? Is that possible?
It's not just possible. It's what happened.
You think so?
I don't know. I know that the Pelicans, you know. How do I want to put this?
Hey, man, you're on TV. Let's go now.
The Pelicans had a method to their madness in the way this went.
That was pretty good.
Did they know it was going to lead to a 40-point loss because everybody's upset? Not necessarily. But, again, I want to go back to just be space.
Is this a Marion Barry set-me-up situation?
I just want to go base in reality. There is an information war going on right now. Okay, it's not even necessarily just about Anthony Davis. And, by the way, it's not just the Pelicans and Lakers playing.
Oh, yeah.
There are other teams playing as well. I've never, in 16 years covering the NBA, I've never seen anything like this. It's fascinating, and it's not even about the trade. It's about everything that's going on around the trade.
Good insight,
and that's why there's not going to be
good
a trade.
Insight,
see, this is why we will be on television for 3 hours tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock Eastern. There is so much stuff coming up.
So, Sam, basically, Windhorse is saying, yeah, the Pels basically, they're so pissed that Clutch Sports and Rich Paul pulled this stunt that they said, okay, yeah, make your trade offer. Keep adding to it. We're just going to keep adding to it. And that not only the Pelicans, but other teams involved somehow peripherally in this whole thing are all in on it and saying, you want to play this game? All right, here's what's going to happen to you. Which is wild. Wild.
All in the game. It's all in the game. If you're going to request a trade a year and a half before your contract is up and you're going to like really try to play things through the media, this is what's going to come back to you. The other teams part is spicy. And Lakers fans are going insane right now. I've seen people calling for the Lakers to sue the NBA for the collusion between the multiple teams. But it is fantastic. And it makes all the sense in the world that the Pelicans are the ones behind all of this leaking. I mean, if Chris Paul, I said Chris Paul, but I meant Rich Paul. He's going to do a bunch of stuff like negotiation through the media. Why wouldn't the Pelicans do the same thing? And it's fantastic stuff. I love it. This trade deadline has been insane. And all the trades that we've heard, that have happened subsequently, none of them have been reported about previously in the news. So it's just of course, none of these Lakers-Pelicans trades were close. But man. Everything backfiring for Clutch Sports. I think Celtics fans at a point, they don't even want Anthony Davis. They're taking more joy in just him not being traded to the Lakers,
yeah.
Which I think is the right place to be. History will remember us fondly for us eventually settling on that take.
If he goes to the Clippers and just signs to the Clippers long, that'd be fantastic. I'm fine with that. But the comeuppance, This is what I think is the lesson here. We get that teams play games through the media. What Clutch Sports did was just so blatant. It's we get that people cheat on their taxes, but don't be claiming that you're bankrupt and driving around town in a BMW. You can't just be so blatant. Every call here was telegraphed. Everything here was just flat out from the here's how you poison things 101 agent playbook. And I think Rich Paul is LeBron's guy. He's got a bunch of clients. He's gone through this whole thing. But I still don't think he's done this part yet. He's not good at this. And I don't think Anthony Davis is the type of player that the Clutch Sports playbook here, this narrative, I don't think he's the type of guy that this whole thing is shaping him out to be. So to see them go out and demand the trade when they did, that was obvious. To see them go out, and again, we're recording just before 11 o'clock on Wednesday night. Mark Stein tweeted out, again, Anthony Davis is adamant. He will not go to Boston. Well, what's going to happen past the trade deadline? You can guarantee, if this goes past Thursday, that will either go away or it will soften. That Anthony Davis will consider all options now.
Or they'll continue to say he won't sign a long-term extension in Boston just to help out the Celtics at this point so they don't have to include Jason Tatum in the deal. What if Rich Paul is really going full galaxy brain and it's really this is all designed to get Anthony Davis to the Celtics with Jason Tatum? That's how crazy this trade deadline has been, because I'm thinking on different planes at this point.
That's some good galaxy brain thinking. I'm thinking that LeBron James is going to have Rich Paul disappear. The whole thing here, the most obvious thing that's happening here is LeBron James went to the Lakers because he said, I need to go to LA. And he left Cleveland to go become part of the Los Angeles entertainment scene. And then he said, he publicly said, I'm going to grow with these young guys, but that was never, never, never the case. This has been the plan from the beginning. And he has tasked Rich Paul with doing everything it takes to get Anthony Davis there by the trade deadline. And it's not going to happen. You just heard Windhorst, who was as plugged into anybody on the LeBron camp, just flat out say, this is why the trade's not going to happen. Everybody has basically said, screw you, Rich Paul, trade's not going to happen. I think now LeBron has to say, it's time to just refocus. If this trade's not going to happen, forget Anthony Davis, time to go to somebody else, which is why I've been saying they need to be talking to Washington. And Bradley Beal is right there for the taking. Where you take two or three of these young guys, a draft, a first round pick, a couple of second round picks, and KCP for cap relief / matching salaries, boom, you've got yourself a star. It's not Anthony Davis, but you can move forward and you can get past all this. But anyway.
They need to do something. Like, if you saw that picture of him, them, all the Lakers standing on the bench. And,
it's so bad.
And, like, LeBron on one end, then four spaces, then the young core, the greatest young core ever assembled. And then on, the best part about that picture is on the other end, sitting by himself, looks like to be amongst the fans, is just Rondo hanging out. I'm very excited to show up and see what the vibe in the Lakers locker room is tomorrow, because they just lost to 42 to the Indiana Pacers without Oladipo. It's not going to be good. Like I'd be shocked if they made the playoffs this year.
I'm going to go to shoot around and I'm going to see for myself how these guys are. I'm going to see how pissed off LeBron is. LeBron is 34 right now. He just turned 34 in December. He is not able to wait around for Anthony Davis. Like, even if the Celtics trade for him and he says, I'm not going to resign, when he is a free agent, LeBron's going to be 36. Like, he's only got a few years left. If you're Anthony Davis, the only thing you can be looking for is that spotlight. And I still don't think going to the Lakers and teaming up with LeBron is a legitimate thing. So at that point, I don't know what his thinking is going to be. But for LeBron, he's not going to wait till he's 36. You can't wait until you're 36. You can't punt another year if you're so hell-bent on winning a championship again. Like, he clearly didn't go to L.A. to grow with those young guys and see what he could do with Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. So those guys are out, and they just have to do something now. Like, if this thing isn't happening now, then they have to turn around and find another trade piece now and just move on. Forget the summer, forget everything. And now that would put the Celtics, if they do that, in an interesting position, because now the Lakers are out. And that leaves the Knicks as a very strong possibility for Anthony Davis. It leaves the Clippers, because we'll have to see what the Clippers do by the time the trade deadline rolls around for what they can do to put together a young package. Not quite Jason Tatum-esque, but, you know, Landry Shamet and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not quite, I don't think, Tatum and Brown, but they still have that unprotected Miami pick coming up, and who knows what other pieces they get if they sell off Gallinari, and if they sell off who else, you know, Lou Williams, Avery Bradley. Like, they've got the ability to really compile a lot of assets here to be a contender for Anthony Davis, to say, okay, you want to go to L.A., you're not going to go play with LeBron, but we can get you to L.A. and be the centerpiece of a franchise in Los Angeles. We can do that for you and still have cap space to lure another free agent, and you can be the selling point. So there is a strong possibility that even if the Lakers are out, like, if people not Celtics fans are listening to this and saying, yeah, of course you're going to celebrate that the Lakers are out of it because the Celtics now become the favorites for Anthony Davis, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think the Knicks and the Clippers are right there in the mix, and I don't think it's a guarantee that the Celtics get Anthony Davis. I do, though, celebrate the fact that an agent's obvious overplay is getting rebuffed, and he is getting his just desserts, and I'm very, very happy to hear that, because you can't be so blatantly obvious colluding or tampering with a player and have that work out for you. It's just that can't happen in the NBA, and I'm glad that if things go the way we think they're going to go over the next day or so, I'm glad to see that that's not going to happen.
It's going to be a wild – it's been a wild trade deadline already, and I think it's going to continue to be crazy, because you're right, the Lakers, it feels like if they're not going to get Anthony Davis, they can't wait around till 2020 for him to become a true free agent. Like, they have all this cap space the next year. They're going to need to go get someone, because there's a lot of good free agents this year. Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, Tobias Harris, who I will talk about shortly. And so it's been wild so far, but I love that Windhorst was just like, yep, it's all just Dell Demps being petty. And that's pretty much what the NBA off the court stuff is all about. It's just pettiness and soap opera. And right, so far, it's been fantastic. It's been one of the best seasons yet.
Yeah, I mean, this trade deadline has been fantastic. The drama and all of that stuff, it's been great. So we will take a break. And when we come back, the East has been reshaped. Tobias Harris is a 76er. What does that mean? We'll talk about that. But first, I want to remind everybody that if you're listening to this before the trade deadline, there is a live trade deadline show going on the Locked On Podcast Network. So if you're listening to this before 1:30 p.m. Eastern, go to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel on YouTube, and there will be a live trade deadline show hosted by Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy and the Monday Locked On NBA, and David Locke, founder of the network. So there's a schedule here going on throughout the afternoon going up to the trade deadline. And there will be a full afternoon of a live Locked On NBA podcast. So go ahead and check that out on the Locked On Fantasy channel on YouTube, Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel on YouTube, sorry. And we're going live at 1:30, so you can have the entire deadline covered by the Locked On Podcast Network. Check that out. We're coming right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Let the bass kick.
At 2:15 in the morning, I was going to bed, and I checked my phone one last time before I went to bed, and I saw a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski that the 76ers completed a trade for Tobias Harris of the Clippers, along with Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott, in exchange for Wilson Chandler, Landry Shamet, Mike Muscala, Philly's first-round pick in 2020, the Heat's unprotected 2021 pick in the first round, and 2 second-rounders. So I got up, went back to my computer, started writing, and tried to process what's happening here. So my almost 24 hours later take is this really does create a starting five that's pretty damn good. If they can get it together, there's always a question about, can they fix this? Can they make sure that these pieces fit? And will it work? And then the other take is their bench is super, super thin, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they stagger their opening lineups, their starting lineups, to try to compensate for that. And I think the Clippers, for potentially losing Tobias Harris, did really, really well, Sam.
The Clippers got a haul for a guy who is going to be on an expiring contract to get 2 first-round picks and Landry Shamet, or Shamet, or however you pronounce it, who's like has been a pretty good player this season. I think it's just an interesting move from the 76ers, who are clearly going all in this year. Just like all the assets they've given up to bring in basically Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. Both guys are expiring this year. Now, maybe Tobias Harris is kind of some insurance for if Jimmy Butler leaves, or you don't really want to re-sign Jimmy Butler because he's too much of like a locker room asshole. But I don't know. It definitely makes the 76ers have one of the better starting fives in the league. But I feel like I don't know how much it helps them, because how much of the ball is really going to like get into Tobias Harris' hands? Like, does this basically just transform him into like a guy who's a spot up 3-point shooter in the corner? And if so, I don't know if that's his strongest, like Tobias Harris. To be honest, I don't know that much about Tobias Harris's game. I haven't been staying up tonight and most nights and watching Clippers games, but I know he's a decent 3-point shooter.
He's
but
a good
he's more of a
shooter.
But I don't think he's not as much of a spot up guy, and I just don't. He's not the best defender. And so, what does this do to the 76ers? Especially when I thought the Celtics last year in the playoffs just abused the 76ers bench, and with both trades, both for Butler and this trade, they've basically gutted their bench. Where who is their best? Like, who's their best guy coming off the bench? Is it Boban? Is it It's going to be Mike Scott, because that guy does nothing but hit obnoxious threes against the Celtics. But like TJ McConnell, it's going to be a real problem. And I just don't. I'm not like, this doesn't have me as a Celtics fan being like terribly scared of the 76ers. So like they're still going to have Ben Simmons, who can't shoot. They're still going to have Joel Embiid running a number of post ups. I think there's a good question if you look at the specific matchup with the Celtics, like who would you put on Ben Simmons and like where do you put Kyrie? But even at this point, I don't know, with the Celtics being in third and the 76ers in fourth place, I don't even know if the Celtics or 76ers will match up in the playoffs. And so it's an interesting question. It's just a kind of a fascinating thing to see the 76ers go all in, but it's just, it's weird to me to see them go all in with these two expiring deals in a year where it's like, we all like the Warriors still exist. Maybe if you get to the finals and make it there, then like you have a decent shot against them, but I don't know. It's just for them to be like trusting the process for 5 years and accumulating assets, for them to go all in this year doesn't make the most sense to me.
Yeah. The biggest questions coming out of this for the Sixers to me is, first of all, we got to wait to see what the buyout market's going to be, because they will undoubtedly be players in the buyout
market. Oh, speaking of that, I forgot about Corey Brewer. That's their best player off the bench. They're going to sign him to another 10-day as soon as the trade deadline passed.
Right. And they've got other guys that they're going to hit the market in the next few weeks or so. So we'll see what happens with the buyouts before we can really figure out what the Sixers are going to be. Secondly, they're going to be super, super expensive. If they are in fact, as they say, and I'm not 100% sold on this, but if they are in fact going to re-sign both Harris and Jimmy Butler and give Simmons the extension and all of that, then they have now not only reach the cap, but the tax line with those four guys. And
there's no way they can re-sign all four. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm convinced Jimmy Butler's going to New York. You're right. It's just like, that's just not responsible team building.
No.
Maybe if you want to trade Ben Simmons go with the other three guys, but you can't spend like the Warriors have shown, the Warriors are about to break up too. It's just very hard to keep all of your cap space and all of your tax space with four individuals, especially if it doesn't guarantee you a title. At least with the Warriors, like getting Kevin Durant was like, okay, we're going to be in the finals. With these four players, it doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't even guarantee you winning the East.
No, it's true. It's true. So I don't know what that's going to mean long term. Do they re-sign all these guys and then just kind of roll with a makeshift bench year to year? Do they move one of these guys to the bench and say, hey, Tobias, we'll pay you the $30 million, but you got to come off the bench, which is wild. But, Celtics are doing it with Gordon Hayward, albeit for different circumstances. I don't know. The Sixers are just in this wild position. It really didn't need to be this bad, but if Markelle Fultz had been just good, then none of this would have happened. The Jimmy Butler trade wouldn't have happened. The Tobias Harris thing wouldn't have happened. And they would have been sitting there with Covington and Saric and trying to build just continue finishing the process. The process now is dead. It's been dead. They are no longer in any sort of process mode. This isn't process anymore. This is big market team building swinging for the fences is what this is. So Philly should just forget the process. Embiid should no longer call himself the process. Like, none of this is process related anymore. And this has the potential to really, really blow up in their face. It also has the potential to be really good. Like, they could, if Tobias Harris comes in and is still the all-star level Tobias Harris, then that could be really, really good for the Sixers. And they could get to the NBA Finals. That's entirely possible. And who knows what that does? What does that do? What's the ripple effect for Kawhi Leonard? What's the ripple effect for Kyrie Irving? What's the ripple effect for the rest of the East? Who knows? But if they make this run and Butler leaves to go to New York, like you said, and they do like Butler and KD, then they now have to go with Tobias Harris – Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But if Tobias Harris leaves, then what? Now you're screwed. Now there's nothing. Now Philly's in a point where, what do you do then? You got no bench. You got a star in Ben Simmons who still can't shoot, and you can game plan him. You've got a star in Joel Embiid that Al Horford can game plan him out and pull him away. Like, I just don't know what happens. The worst case scenario for Philly is Harris and Butler go, and the whole thing just goes to shit.
Man, that'd be cool. The funniest thing is that, like, if I was trying to put together a team around, like, kind of the two main stars of the 76ers right now, like, I feel like Robert Covington would be the exact player that I'd want. A guy who can knock down threes, although he didn't really do that in the playoffs against the Celtics, and a strong defender. It's like, is this kind of weird that they, like, gave up so much of their bench I think it's just a case of too many cooks at this point. And maybe that's just optimistic thinking from a Celtics perspective, and so they could be quite dangerous, but you're right. It's high risk, high reward. And I feel like that's the thing about this deadline is that it feels like everyone's doing that. And the Knicks did that. The Mavericks did that with the Porzingis trade. Everyone is loading up for this offseason. If they're not going for it this year, like the Sixers, they're like other teams, and they're like the Mavericks or the Knicks, and they're just like trying to get cap space because this offseason is going to be fantastic. There's so many players available, and everyone is anticipating KD leaving and leaving the Warriors and kind of the league being open again and having a new champion. And all of the kind of – we've seen, what, like 17 deals just today alone. It's been absolutely insane, and I'm so here for it. I'm going to be glued to my computer. I've been glued to my phone pretty much since 5 p.m., since I got out of work. It's fantastic.
It's great. And the other thing here now is – and we'll get into more about this after the break, but I like this. I'm just going to read this tweet from Brian Toporek, who works for Bleacher Report, who said, if this is all it costs to get Otto Porter Jr. and Harrison Barnes, then the Sixers gave up way too much for Tobias Harris. Otto Porter Jr. was traded away from Washington to Chicago for
Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker.
Yep, Bobby Portis. And then Harrison Barnes went to Sacramento for what? Jaren Jackson and
Zebo.
So, I mean, Tobias Harris is better than those guys, but considering everything that they gave up.
Not two first-round picks better.
And unprotected first-round pick from the Miami Heat in 2021, 2 years from now, where it's not inconceivable at all that the Heat will be bad. An unprotected pick from Miami Heat for Tobias Harris. Of course, for Boban as well. But still, it feels like the Sixers overextended themselves on this one. I just wonder if the fact that they dropped into fifth in the East after last night's loss to the Raptors, because now the Celtics are third, the Indiana Pacers are fourth, and the Sixers are fifth. I wonder if, like, that's the, we got to do this, we got to do something now, and the Clippers were like, yeah, this is our offer, and they said, screw it, let's do it, we're in. And they have to make a run to the finals now to justify everything. Because of all of the losing that the Sixers have done, up until, you know, all throughout the quote-unquote process, like, after all of that, there has to be some payoff. Like, this has to be the year that it pays off. And so the Sixers overpaid because it's now or never.
Man, it'd be great if they lost the Pacers in without Oladipo in the first round. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be nuts. All right, so because of those two trades, there's more to talk about. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up the show and talk about some of these other deals here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. the trade deadline rolls on, and there's so much going on here. I'm at a point now where who knows what's happening. So Harrison Barnes goes to the Kings, and
Harrison Barnes, who got traded while he was on the bench playing in a game.
Yeah.
A great video. You can see him getting told, and he like immediately leaves and like rips off his jersey. High drama there, but he is going to the Kings, who are going for the playoffs. They are making a push.
Now, I said Jaren Jackson earlier. That's obviously he does not play for the Kings. Justin Jackson is the guy who plays for the Kings. This qualifies me to be a GM involved in a trade between the Suns and the Wizards and the Grizzlies. But it's Justin Jackson. I get the wrong Jackson. But players in-game being told, you're out. See ya. That's crazy.
And it has a direct impact on the Celtics, who have the Kings pick this year, and it seems like they're really going for it. So that is not great for the Celtics in terms of that pick, either if they want to turn it into a player or if it's going to be a trade chip to try to land someone like Anthony Davis. The better the Kings are, the worse that pick is going to be for the Celtics. And so that's not great, but if you put on some optimist green goggles, if the Kings make the playoffs, it's less likely that the Lakers make the playoffs. And that's just good old fashioned fun.
The other thing that's happening is that the Memphis Grizzlies are actively shopping Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. Still no deal, but Marc Gasol and the Hornets is close. And who knows what's going to happen with Mike Conley. Some talk about him to the Jazz. He doesn't want to play for the Jazz, but something's going to happen. And the Kings pick might not be as valuable, but the Grizzlies pick, which is protected top 8 this year, top 6 next year, is unprotected the following, becomes potentially very valuable because it becomes unprotected the same year the Miami Heat pick becomes unprotected. And I think when you look at both teams and their histories and the way they're going to rebuild, I think that Memphis pick becomes a little bit more valuable, even if Miami says we're trying to rebuild. Miami is much more aggressive about being good than the Memphis Grizzlies will be. And I trust Miami to get better faster than the Grizzlies. I think that Memphis pick is going to become more valuable than the Kings pick. Like, I think they switch places. The Kings pick, I think, was going to be like the most valuable one. And the Grizzlies pick was going to be like middle of the road. And they flipped. The Grizzlies pick is going to become the prize in this trade deadline for the Celtics. So, and the good thing is, let's pretend that the worst case scenario comes into play, which for Boston is that they don't trade for Anthony Davis. They still have a very valuable pick there that they can turn around and flip next year if they want, or use if they want. So for Boston, the worst case scenario is we've got a great pick and we stick around with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We just keep on rolling with this.
Yeah. With the Grizzlies trading or wanting to trade both Conley and Gasol, other than Jaren Jackson, they really don't have anyone else. So you wouldn't expect that pick to kind of convey until at least 2 years from now, because you fully expect Memphis playing in the Western Conference to be real bad. I totally agree with you that that's kind of that pick becomes like kind of the I would think the centerpiece of any sort of deal for Anthony Davis. Like, that would be like the one that has to be included. Another interesting thing is that the Clippers pick, now that they're shipping off everything and basically going to the tank for the rest of the year, they gave away their best player. Their pick that the Celtics also have is lottery protected. So if they miss the playoffs, which is likely now that they don't have as many players, then that pick goes into future seasons. And I'm not sure at what point it would have to convey. I don't know the pick protections on that, but I will look it up on the internet. Yeah.
The Clippers, okay, so it's lottery protected this year, lottery protected next year. If it doesn't convey this year or next year, it becomes a 2022 second round pick.
So there's there was hope for the Celtics getting that pick this year. I just don't think it's going to happen.
It's much more likely that they're going to get that second round pick. So what the
Clippers unless they go like hurts. The Clippers go out and get like Kawhi and someone else next year, because they are clearing the room to kind of have like this two max slots. But unless they like land their guys, which the Clippers are not really known for landing big free agents. It's not likely that Celtics are, that's going to turn into a first round pick. So that's not great from the perspective of the Celtics.
Breaking news: Markieff Morris is going to the Pelicans.
Woo! Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm looking for, at
for who?
I that's a good question. I'm looking at Twitter right now. This is wild because this is what the
trade. I understand that zero. Are the Pelicans trying to add talent right now?
I don't know. I don't know. Other than I'm looking at my phone. The Wizards, it's from Sham Sarania. The Wizards are trading Markieff Morris to the Pelicans. For what? Who knows?
We'll find out shortly, but that is he going to get bought out and then just go? Is he going to be the main guy in the buyout market? But are the Wizards just trying to get under the tax? Like this I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Does it make any sense for the Celtics to get Markieff Morris?
Yes, you gotta unite the Morrises. Oh my God.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it also
it makes all the sense in the world.
Like, it makes more sense for the Celtics to go for Wayne Ellington, who's going to get bought out after being traded today. I've lost track of who he got traded to, but he got traded.
I think he got traded to he was part of that three-team deal, or is that a different deal? The Rockets have been doing a bunch of stuff to get under the tax, and I think they're trying to go after Mirotić.
He ended up going to Phoenix.
That sounds about right.
He ended up going to Phoenix, and Phoenix really has no need for him. The Celtics could use a guy like Wayne Ellington. I mean, he's the type of guy that, you know, he's a career 41% three-point shooter. Like,
oh my God, I'm sorry to interrupt, but apparently Markieff Morris is represented by
Clutch Sports
and Rich Paul, who just did a trade with the Pelicans. This is fantastic.
Yes, yes, right, because there was the whole thing with Markieff Morris. Markieff is also from Clutch Sports.
Is Mook represented by Clutch Sports? I would have to imagine if Markieff was.
He is, because that was my point of contention when who was it? It was Rick Bucher who said a source close to the Celtics said that Kyrie wanting or being open to play with LeBron was for real. And my point of contention was, well, the source close to the Celtics could be Rich Paul, because he is the agent of Markieff Morris, Marcus Morris, and the agent of a current active player is a source close to that player's team. So Rich Paul is technically a source close to the Celtics. So I theorized that Rich Paul planted that and Rick Bucher just kind of spun it and ran with it. So, yeah, the Morris twins are Clutch Sports guys.
Hey, man, if there's any way you can unite the Morrises, I know Markieff is injured right now, but I'm all for it. I'd like pay the tax dollars, pay 14 times what it's going to cost. But you got to – the twin power there is amazing.
So who knows what. So it appears that this is a deal to get the Wizards under the tax or whatever. It feels like just a sheer – cost-cutting move. So the Wizards are doing what I thought they should do now that John Wall had that ridiculous injury, tearing his Achilles tendon, falling after that surgery. If you don't know, it's just really, really unfortunate. But he still has to wait for an infection to go away, and all then he has another surgery coming, and
he's going to be out a year, from now. But he's not going to play at all like next season, probably.
Not even a year from now, Sam. It's a year from the surgery, which still hasn't happened yet. So he might get a few games at the end of next season, but then he's got the summer. So he's not going to get back into anything close to who he is until the beginning of the 2020-21 season.
And he's going to get paid $40 million to do it. Man, the Wizards better trade Bradley Beal if they got to go full tank.
That's what I'm saying.
They got to blow it up.
They are a tax-paying team right now. Getting rid of Porter, like they have had Otto Porter, who's a decent player. Granted, he's making like $22 million this year, but they had him. He's a valuable guy, and they just used him to, like, you know what? Salary dump. They took back Jabari Parker, who's non-guaranteed next year. They took back Bobby Portis, who's a restricted free agent. I'm sure they will not offer him the qualifying offer. That's sheer money. Markieff now going to the Pelicans as sheer money dump. So, like, it's what the Wizards should do. Bradley Beal has to be going somewhere. He has to be going somewhere, somehow. So we'll be
monitoring everything. It's going to be awesome when this episode comes out tomorrow and there's been 18 more trades.
Yeah, I don't know what to, like, we've, I guess we should probably just shut up and just
never. Yeah, we're just keep recording. We'll do a live broadcast all the way up to the trade deadline.
That's it. I don't sleep anyway, so why not? You know what's funny? Like today, I actually caught like a little nap in the middle of the. I had my phone. I fell asleep with my phone on my face, just so I could have the alerts going off. I could wake up and look at it like, oh, this doesn't mean anything. I could go back to sleep for like 10 more minutes. So, and I'm not even a newsbreaker. Like, I can't imagine what these newsbreakers are doing. So, let's. Are there any final points? I can't even remember what I said in this podcast at this point.
Let's think. Dell Demps is awesome for giving Rich Paul his comeuppance. The Sixers might be better, but they might be a lot worse.
Yeah.
And the NBA is fantastic,
it's
and
wild.
I love it.
It's a wild scene. So we're just going to publish this thing. I shouldn't even edit it. I should just send out the raw video. Here, go. Listen to this, and we'll be back. We'll be back whenever the next thing happens, which is it just happens to be the goddamn Lakers are in town. LeBron and the Lakers are in town. And we got to talk about that. So, like, it's not just like nothing's happening. It's the trade deadline, and LeBron's in town, and the Lakers are here, and it's Celtics-Lakers. And we got to record a podcast after that madness. So, that's a thing that's going to happen. Who knows what's going on in this trade deadline? Stick around for this. And, of course, listen to the Locked On Celtics live trade deadline show. It's on YouTube at the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel. Just put that up at work, leave it in the background, and just keep flipping to it. It's the easiest way to keep up with everything that's happening. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to the Lakers shoot around. Who knows what LeBron's gonna say. Man, what a wild time of year, man. I love it. Everybody, subscribe, 5-star rating, good review, share the podcast, tell everybody, listen to Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.